Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and game master. This week, we are continuing our month of romantic games with The Good Society, a Jane Austen-inspired RPG designed by Haley Gordon and V. Hendro. The Good Society helps break down characters in Regency romances into easy-to-understand motivations, relationships, and backgrounds, with simple mechanics that encourage players to get stuck in big, messy webs of desire, duty, and expectation. It's designed for play sessions that are a little bit longer than what we normally do on One Shot, but using their farce play set, I think we got great mileage out of this game. If you're a fan of Austen, the Bronte sisters, or even Oscar Wilde, I definitely recommend checking out this game. Before we get to that, I want to remind everybody that coming up on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, we're going to be premiering A Woman with Hollow Eyes on the One Shot Twitch feed. Now, that was supposed to happen last Tuesday, but one of our performers got sick. So, if you want to catch the premiere of the new season, you can still join us by heading to twitch.tv/oneshotrpg at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can also check out one of our newest One Shot programs there, In Theory, starring DC. That premiered last Sunday, but the video on demand is still up and it will soon be exported to our YouTube page. That's all for now. I'll see you in the mid-roll, heroes. All right, heroes, let's meet our party for this week. First up, a name that may be familiar, but not the full name, and that is Matt Barthwell. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as I have been told, you are a role-playing game person. Like this is a thing that you do to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I have a role-playing group that we meet every Tuesday, and we've been doing that for about a year and a half. And I've been, you know, role-playing and just gaming in general has been a huge part of my life for about 20-something years. So this is my first time doing one recording, though.
Ooh, well, I do have to ask, what do you normally play? What is your regular game type?
Usually it's D&D. Right now we're doing one called Deadlands.
But not really as much concerned with who's going to marry whom and what the delicious gossip is about someone else.
No, we really just kind of get drunk in our game, and then we go and fight some killer wolves, really.
I've got a feeling this game is going to be a little bit different. But to sort of transition into that, if you were to be an opulently wealthy British person from a family of privilege and nobility, what do you think would be the most exciting and appealing thing about that life to you?
I think that would really be trying to kill off your cousins.
I feel like that says it all. And with that, I would like to introduce our next guest. That is Travis Steubing.
Hello.
Travis, welcome to One Shot.
Glad to be here.
Now, you're an improviser. Have you ever played a role-playing game before?
I've not. I've always wanted to.
Well, I'm glad that we get to break you in on this one, because you are going to be able to take this experience, go to other people who've played role-playing games, and they're going to be able to go, excuse me? What? But I'm looking forward to sort of breaking people in on this really unique game that I'm very excited about. I have to ask, if you were to be an opulently wealthy British person, what do you think would be the most enjoyable thing about that lifestyle, apart from killing your cousins?
Well, no, that's the thing. It's actually in the vein of it. I feel like trying to kill your cousin, I would say, is a lifestyle choice.
Uh-huh.
I feel like being so obscenely wealthy, my hobby would probably be just hunting man for sport.
Ooh, yeah. I mean,
if I have my own island, or if I'm just stalking them through the streets of London, I'd, you know, I think that's something I could pull off and be successful at.
Oh, and I guess I should ask you both, is there anything that y'all want to plug? You got any projects that people could find online or your Twitter presences or what have you?
I think the only thing would be come to WakandaCon this July, 26th through 28th at the Hyatt Regency McCormick. That is the convention that my sister, my brother, and I put on last year. It was a lot of fun. We almost killed ourselves doing it, and hopefully this year we won't do that, but it's going to be bigger and better. So if you like a new convention that's going to be in Chicago, come on down.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in our audience would be excited about that. So please look up WakandaCon. And for Travis.
Yes, every Saturday night, I'm in a a little group called Mystery Bucket. We perform at Second City at 7 o'clock, and we do a different form of improv every week. Well, actually, that's what we used to be doing. So that could change very shortly, so who knows what you're going to get. But I hope you're there to find out.
It is a Mystery Bucket.
Yeah. I say I'm really the only one who says it, but I say, come get to the bottom of it.
Woof.
I say Mystery Bucket. Come get to the bottom of it. I think I say it just as creepily to other people as I did just now. So apologies.
Let's move over to maybe a more normal human being. One who does not want to hunt man for sport. And that would be Kennedy Baldwin.
Hi.
Hey. First of all, welcome to One Shot.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Have you ever played a role-playing game before?
No. I think the closest I've ever played is like Mafia. Like that type of game.
You know, it is. Yeah. That's very adjacent. It's like pretty close to what it is. If you were going to be an opulently wealthy British person, what would excite you most? That isn't murder.
I think all the like balls that they have, those seem like ragers.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we go to some pretty like exciting parties as youth in a modern day, but like none of them require planning. Mm-hmm. And balls are all about that shit. Mm-hmm. So,
and wow, do I love to gossip. I just like like I think all the ball, like there's like barely any dancing to my understanding, and a lot of it is just like, oh my god, is Richard looking at me, which is all I ever do at parties anyway. And I think I could really focus on that there.
I love it. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
I'm also in Mystery Bucket. Mm. I've never heard Travis say that phrase before.
Get to the bottom.
Yeah.
Get to the
bottom. I've not once heard it, and I'm shocked to hear it now.
I love it. Finally, for our main cast, we've got Phoebe Perry. Phoebe, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I have to ask, is this your first role-playing game as well?
No, I played one in a basement in college.
I need to know, what game was it and how did it go?
I don't remember what it was called, but I do remember that I played this tall, tall witch.
Mm.
And so I remember people being kind of upset, being like, you can't do that, or saying like, that's too, you're going to die. And then I did die. But that's what I remember. It was really fun.
Well, let's see if we can continue the tradition and have you die in this one. I have to ask, what is the thing that you would like most about being an opulently wealthy British person in the past?
Taking a long time in the morning, because it seems like it took a long time. Like everything took long.
Mm.
I like how many layers. I've watched a lot of videos online of how long it took rich women to get.
I like how long it took. I especially like that it happened in large windowed rooms. Yeah, and sometimes they would take a brick that was on a furnace and then they would wrap it up and put it by their feet while they ate breakfast.
I love these little past factoids. This is very good. Do you have any projects that you would like to plug?
Yeah, I have a sketch duo with Tremaine Alston. We're called Honest to Goddess, and we are on the internet.
Ooh, check that out. Love that name. Finally, I have a co-conspirator in the facilitator role, which is the person who essentially helps run the game, basically your game master in any other role-playing system, and that is my good friend Allie Barthwell.
What's up, nerds?
Yeah! Allie, people know that you've played games before. They can hear them on One Shot, so I have to jump right into, if you were an opulently wealthy British person, what would be your favorite part of that?
I would love like a 12-course meal in which I'm eating dolphin and like a horse hoof. I think that I really would delight.
That's what you think?
Yes. So there's a show on Netflix called Lords and Ladles that I got really into for like a week. And it's an Irish show where they go to old castles, and then these three professional chefs have to make a meal from the time period of when the castle was built. And one of them is the forager, and they have to go out and they have to go hunt rabbits.
You get like, some horse hoof and you come back here. No questions
asked.
And
one of them is, I forget their name, but they basically have to write a book report on the family. So they hang out with like an old Irish guy as he's like, well, we once killed someone on this telescope. It's the oldest in Ireland. Like, and then they have to give a book report. But so the meals are very interesting, and I think I'd really enjoy that.
All right, all right. Now, Allie, you are going to be in this co-facilitator role partially because you're already directing some of these fools, the majority of these fools, yes. In a show.
Yes. I'm part of the directing program at Second City, so learning the Second City process, learning how to be a director. And as you all know, I've been an improviser for a very long time, so it's time for me to do something else. So maybe it's directing. I have a capstone project, which is a sketch review that I am directing Travis and Phoebe and Kennedy, and Matt is my assistant director. And that will open March 8th at 9 p.m. and run Fridays in March. So those 4 Fridays in March. And our show is called It's Not You, It's Us.
Ooh.
And that will be opening, again, March 8th at 9 p.m. So I'd love to see everybody there.
And people can just go to the Second City website,
yes,
too.
There will be tickets available on the Second City website.
All right. All right. So I'm sure everybody's going to be looking forward to checking that out. But for now, we have to go to the green rolling hills of Regency, England. I don't think this is going to be in London. I think this is at the weird summer house situation that everybody had over there. And we're going to meet some characters. There are some bits of information that you can keep secret in The Good Society. For this game, for the benefit of our audience, we're going to be playing with all of that information out in the open. So I'm going to be going around to each cast member. They're going to introduce what their role is. After we establish the character role and the desire, you're going to give that character a name. Then we're going to go around the table again, and we're going to establish relationships to each other. Once all of that is settled, we'll do any like final world building notes, introduce our secondary characters, and we'll get started on the game. So we're actually going to start over at Phoebe. Phoebe, what is your role and what is that character's desire?
Well, we have the meddler. Some look down upon the spread of... Do you want me to read
it? You don't have to read the whole thing. You can,
okay, the meddler is... Oh, rude. She loves to gossip, and she'll do it sometimes at the expense of her own reputation, but she tries not to. Ooh. She's naughty. She's loving. She's famous. People trust her.
Famous? Some infamous? Infamous? To some, maybe.
Maybe. I circled something down there. Anyway, her desire is marriage. She really wants to marry somebody, and she needs her parents' permission. Uh-oh. We gotta let him know. We gotta let him, we gotta pump up his volume. We gotta, what is that? We gotta...
pump up his status?
Gotta, yeah, pump up his status so that the mom and dad are go, love it, and let her marry him. And then object of affection. So I have this card that I can give to anyone, and I tell them, when I give this card to them, I think what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember last time I was a tall, tall witch.
Very different.
So, yeah. So when I hand this to somebody, then they can either choose. I tell them, like, I love you so much, and then they decide if they like me back.
Ooh, very cool. Okay. What is going to be your character's name? Have you decided?
Yeah, Nadine.
Nadine. And do you have a surname that you want to hit us with? Something fancy sounding.
Rowley.
Yeah. All right. Kennedy. Who? What role are you going to be playing? What is their desire?
I am the hedonist, and I just love a big old party.
Mm-hmm.
And my greatest desire is to receive from or make two successful proposals to at least two eligible individuals. And then I want to marry one of them and then say goodbye to the other one discreetly.
Damn!
Yeah.
Tangled web.
Yes.
I absolutely love this. What is your character's name going
to
be?
Oh, I think something has to be something sexy, like... Rex.
Rex. Rex. Okay. Yeah. And Rex, or Rex's pronouns would be he, him, or are they going to be
She, him.
Her? Okay.
He, him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, here we go.
What will Rex's and Nadine's pronouns, is it she, her? For Rex, what's Rex's surname going to be?
Navarez.
Yes. All right. Travis, what is your role and what is this person's goal?
I am the socialite.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone who seems to be not too fazed by theology and science, mm-hmm. Not because it doesn't interest him, but because he doesn't get it. So I think that sums up pretty much what's going on mentally with this guy.
Yeah, not too much going on upstairs.
Perhaps not much of a thinker when it comes to the complexities of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, he seems to easily be liked and can turn a room full of cold observers into desperate admirers with just a smile.
So he's dumb, but he fine.
he fine as hell.
Dumb but cute.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
His actual desire is to break up a relationship between the object of my affection and their paramour.
Ooh. He's also messy. I love it.
We love a messy bitch.
Big dumb daddy. Did you want relationship?
We'll get to relationship in a second. Actually, I probably should have asked this on the other people, but I am going to start with you for because I'm bad. Travis, can I also get your family? That's a little side sheet of paper that I gave you. What kind of family do you have?
Yes, I come from old money.
Ooh, so he's dumb, hot, messy, and rich.
Baby, you know it.
What is his name going to be, or their name going to be, I should say?
His name is Alistair Reese.
And Matt, can I get your role, your goal, and your family?
Well, I am playing the heir. Similar to the socialite where I come from a lot of money, but I don't have any. Because as the child of the, you know, I only can get the money when my parents let me have it. So that pisses me off a lot. My desire, I kind of like this one because it plays into everyone. I have to orchestrate at least one marriage between people of your choosing.
Yes.
So I'm going to be playing the matchmaker. And if I have to pay someone to get married, I'm going to do that.
Just throw a big stack of bills on the floor, be like, the first two people to touch it, they're married.
Of course. Or just, hey, I will pay you money to pretend that you're going to get married to this one.
Nice.
I love it. And what kind of family do you have?
Oh, I'm the new money. I have the, as I think it's the look down upon money, because I don't come from these old families where we made our money through some maybe unsavory ways recently,
mm-hmm.
but you know, money's money, and the other people kind of hate me for that. And so I get to act a little vulgar around them because I don't know how to act all proper.
Ooh. I love it. I love it.
What's your character's name?
I'm going to be Edward Leopold.
Edward Leopold.
Yes.
Nice. He, him?
He, him.
Okay, so now those are our major characters. They're going to be the primary protagonists for this, but they have to have a reason to interact with each other. So each person drew a relationship card. We're doing the quick play version of this game. So a lot of the information that you'd be able to make up for yourselves normally is going to be filled in by the playset that we're using. So I am going to return to Phoebe. Phoebe, before we get your relationship, I do want to know what kind of family connection do you have? That long strip of paper. The stuff I skipped earlier.
A peerage. So my ancestors replaced Mrs. with Lady, and so we are very well-to-do. I don't think they're rich, but I think they're what is it?
Yeah, you don't have to be really rich, but you are nobility. Okay. You are of of noble blood, and that's something that people can't buy. So you know, if we were to look over to Edward Leopold, he can have all the money in the world. That ain't gonna make him nobility. So his family name, even though it has a lot of money, ain't worth shit. So
I buy a family.
Well, and that's the thing.
This is where I'd use the money for.
That is a reason that somebody would have to want to marry your character, because if they marry you, they get into that noble family line.
Peerage.
So yeah, that's peerage. Perfect. And what is the relationship that you have?
Object of affection, and that will go to Rex.
Oh yes.
Accepted.
So that means that we know that Nadine has a crush on Rex, which is very cool. We're going to move over to Rex. Kennedy, please tell us what your family relationship thing is.
My relationship thing?
Or well, your family then relationship.
My family is honestly pretty messy. everyone, like, we always have to like move from place to place because somebody's getting into a scandal. And I am annoyed that everyone is annoyed with us.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So, it's not a popular family, which probably makes Nadine's choice to have a crush on your character pretty not okay.
Oh, it's huge. Pretty naughty. It's pretty
so, naughty. We shouldn't be the Navarres, is that right? Your last name?
Yeah.
You guys are fucked up. Navarres.
And what is the relationship card that you have?
Though not in the same immediate family, the giver and taker of this card are relations. So like a cousin, aunt, uncle, niece, or nephew of the other.
Who are you going to be connected to?
I think the heir.
Oh, I love it. So yeah, the messiest family is connected to this like newly rich family.
The second messiest family.
That's like trying to, they're trying to get this reputation. It's like, nah, you're related to the Navarres.
We got to make up for these war crimes.
Cool. So we're going to move over to Alistair Reese. Alistair, what relationship do you have?
Rival.
Ooh.
Rival. The giver and taker of this card are rivals. It may be a trivial rivalry. It is certainly a bitter one.
Oh, okay. Ooh. So who will be your enemy?
I think because of the old money versus new money,
mm-hmm.
it's going to have to be Edward Leopold.
Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it on.
It's got a full plate. I hope you can defend against a dum-dum.
Ooh. Ooh. Edward, you've got a lot of heat right now. What is your relationship card?
So I have the friends. The giver and taker of this card are long-standing acquaintances. They still visit on the rare occasion. Now, I can't give this to myself, right? Because at that point, I'll just have all the cards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to give this to Nadine over here.
All right. All right. So you are friends. I love this. We'll figure out what those friendships are. So now that we have that sort of web of characters, we know who these characters are, what they want, and how they're connected to each other, we need a cast of supporting characters. There are a lot of people who want to have romantic entanglements and engagements, and there just simply aren't enough people to go around. So we are going to introduce a couple side characters. You're going to be able to use these side characters to help further your goals, but you're not going to be playing them yourself. That's going to be somebody else at the table. So I'm going to go around one more time. We're going to introduce the side character that you have. Somebody else can volunteer to play that character if they really like the sound of that character. Otherwise, that responsibility is either going to fall to me or Allie. Let's start over with Matt again. Matt, which character is going to be your like allied minion character here?
That's going to be my good buddy Edwin over here. Should I read his little description?
Yeah. What's Edwin all about?
Edwin is imposing in an army colonel, strict, demanding, and old-fashioned from a long line of distinguished military officers, secretly proud of those he loves.
So how did you meet Edwin? How did Edward and Edwin? Was it just that they had similar names?
Well, it was actually coming from this new money. We had to bring a lot of these products that we're bringing into the country from overseas, and with the might of the British Army and the Navy, we had to get a lot of contacts there to kind of help transport and make sure things weren't ravaged by, you know, those Portuguese, the Spaniards, and the French. And yeah. So getting this army colonel on our side kind of helped ease that progression, and he just kind of became a buddy that I would come to, and I kind of asked for some favors of that might need some little firmer hand to get settled. So
yeah,
that's that one.
A true deep friendship, the kind of friendship where you pay them money to see them. I love it. Okay, does anybody like Edwin as a character that they would like to portray? If not, either Allie or I will grab it. All right, I will take Edwin. The cheekbones on Edwin. Let's move on to Travis. Travis, who is the side character that you're going to be introducing here?
He is Jasper.
Jasper.
He's recently wealthy, yet unmarried. He's kind, socially awkward, and naive.
Mm.
Poor judge of character and pays excessive regard to the opinions of others.
Mm-hmm. And how does your character know Jasper?
Well, Jasper worked at a garment factory until his family died in a fire.
That's
but,
pretty
but
common.
But they had visiting extended family coming. So, like, his literally the whole family is dead, and one of them happened to have some money. So that's how he came into it.
Mm.
And, of course, Moni love Moni. So, you know, I thought perhaps we could be friends.
I love it. I love it. Okay, that's Jasper. Anybody want to be Jasper?
I'll take Jasper.
Yeah.
I think that
fits you, Allie.
Yep. Kindly, socially awkward, and naive. You know that me.
Yeah, just one look at that Twitter presence lets you know that's Allie to a T. Let's move on to Kennedy. Kennedy, who are you going to be introducing for us?
Margaret.
Ooh, yes.
She's secretly romantic, and she's new money. She's sharp-witted, cutting, headstrong, and headstrong on the surface. Secretly, she would go out of her way to see true love blossom.
Ooh. If there are no takers for Margaret, I will take on the role of Margaret. And finally, we've got we're back to Phoebe. Phoebe, who are you going to introduce for us?
Marion. So Marion is scheming, fashionable, vengeful, well off. So basically what Marion is she always has a plan, and she's a gossip who is mean about it. Again, not a gossip in good faith, but she's adept at ruining reputations and tarnishing good names she never forgives and will almost certainly ruin your evening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, so she's going to ruin your night.
Yeah. She's
going
to ruin your night.
Yeah.
All right. So if it is your character, you control this character. Mm. Other people can control the characters by using their influence tokens the same way that you would be able to control scenes. Since we're talking about influence tokens, we'll jump into how the mechanics of this game works. Each player right now has 2 influence tokens. If they want to make a change to the world, introduce some new major narrative information, they can spend a token and do that. If they are at a ball that they would like to be over, they can spend a token to make that ball on fire and end it immediately. They can also spend a token to introduce information that would be disadvantageous to another character or player at the table. If, for instance, we were to find out that Nadine were running that ball, instead of just spending the token into thin air, you would give that to Phoebe. Phoebe is saying, essentially, hey, I want to set this ball on fire. And Phoebe would have the right to either go, no, I do not want this ball to be on fire. Yes, I would like this ball to be on fire. Or add a condition to the new information you're introducing, saying, yes, I'm okay with this ball being on fire so long as your character has personally set it. Mm. So that that sort of allows you to influence the world. You can also do it to give your character or a side character information, like interesting information. If there is a secret that you would like them to know about, if somebody was murdered and all of a sudden we're in an Agatha Christie style world, you can know who the killer is simply by spending an influence token. The other token that everyone has in front of them right now is a inner monologue token. And we'll spend those anytime we want to hear a character's inner thoughts or desires. This is really only for major characters, but in Jane Austen novels, there's often a element of knowing exactly what a person is thinking, how they're agonizing over a problem. And if we want to see that, all we have to do is spend a token to do it. Because we are playing with the farce playset, and we want to introduce all of these characters, we are going to be stepping into the first scene. The way this game works, there are different phases to the game. And the first phase of the game is what they call a novel phase. That is a narrative phase that works like other role-playing games, or for those who are improvisers, an improv scene. And they recommend, so that we get a chance to introduce all of these characters, that we start this game off at an event. I think the most appropriate event, because we have so many people who are interested in weddings and marriage and being eligible people, is to start at a funeral. Hey heroes, don't worry, we'll have you back in the loving embrace of finely dressed British gentry very soon. But first, we've got a radvertisement. This one goes out to Brioni, Mackenzie, Maggie, and Melissa. As we inch to the climax of our 2.5 year campaign, I know your queer disaster adolescent monsters will find a way to heal the wounds of this weird town. It astounds me how far we've come, because I never thought I could be a good enough GM to see a whole game through, until I had you. Because we love and trust each other, I was strong enough to pick myself up and try again where I had given up before. I don't think there is a safer place in the world than our table. When I'm lost in the woods, you lead me home. And when I lose myself, you remind me. Now you've got this. Don't let witch hunters get you down. We are so much stronger together. Love, your GM, Jack. Aw, y'all, that's really sweet. I know many of us remember being queer disaster adolescent monsters, and I have to say, I'm a fan of these kids. I wish them the fate that I wish all teens, that they dab on their haters' graves. Next up, we've got some promotional radvertisements, the first one coming to us from Brian Schaefer for K-Band Radio. K-Band Radio is a long-form actual play podcast about a group of uncouth chuckleheads roaming the universe and repossessing starships for an intergalactic banking federation. Science fiction quickly transitions into space opera and space fantasy when the psychic shape-shifting dragon Illuminati is discovered in episode 17. This is mostly improv and wholly comedic. They'll bring you shenanigans in space. You can listen to K-Band Radio wherever you get your podcasts or at www.kbandradio.com. You can also follow them on Twitter over at @kbandgm. Folks, something tells me listeners on the One Shot Network are going to love a space opera show about uncouth chuckleheads. I don't know why, I just feel it in my heart. Our last advertisement this week comes to us from Spencer Starkey, and it's for Icarus, a storytelling game about how great civilizations fall. From the publishers of Kids on Bikes and Outbreak Undead comes Icarus, a collaborative storytelling game about how great civilizations fall. Every game begins with a city-nation known as Icarus at the height of its power, where, in celebration, the city has decided to erect a massive, ever-growing monument in the center of town to display its prestige to the world. During the game, you are literally stacking dice in the center of the table to represent the construction of this monument, drawing cards from the story deck to create escalating events in the city, and influencing the outcome of those events through actions driven by your character's motives. By combining the tension of a game like Jenga with the world-building elements of games like The Quest and Dialect, Icarus allows you to explore what it means for a great civilization to collapse, as they all do with time. When the dice tower you're building finally falls, your civilization falls with it, and the game comes to an end. You can build your city, tell your tale, and watch it all fall by backing Icarus on Kickstarter now. Folks, full disclosure, I have already backed Icarus on Kickstarter. There are some heavy hitters behind this one, and the design looks really interesting. If you're like me and you like quirky high-concept games, check it out. A huge thanks to Spencer for sponsoring us this week through a radvertisement, and good luck on your project. Folks, if you want to hear your own radvertisement on OneShot, all you need to do is head to oneshotpodcast.com, click on Contact Us, and radvertise. During February, personal radvertisements are only $69, and professional radvertisements are $169. You could also win a radvertisement for free by tweeting about a OneShot show you like using the hashtag OneShotHearts. That's how Jack got their message into the show this week. Before we get to the show, I want to thank everyone who supports us on Patreon and let you know that we're going to be doing our next batch of name readings starting next week. The cutoff to get your name in that batch is Wednesday. So if you'd like to hear your name on air in a timely manner, be sure to head to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and back us now. To get your name on air, you only need to back us at the $2 level, but there are lots of other fantastic rewards waiting for you at further levels, like the $5 level, which gets you access to the Secret Archive, or our $15 level, which gets you free RPGs every month through the One Shot Book Club. Speaking of, this month, our book is going to be Emily Carebosse's Romance Trilogy, a truly wonderful game. It's already available to book club backers, so if you support us at the book club level, head over to Patreon and pick up your reward as soon as possible, because those games rule. With all that out of the way, let's get back to the show. A funeral for what was the family that had the most eligible bachelors and bachelorettes in this town. They all died in a tragic fire, which means that if there was an eligible bachelor out there, they now are no longer looking at this family. And if there was an eligible bachelorette, she is dead and you can grab those people up. So I think we begin this at a estate. People have just exited a small cathedral that is on that estate where this family is being buried. And you're sort of being moved into a somber sitting room where everybody is being served drinks and appetizers as they think on the Fitzwilliam family and how tragic it is that everyone should have died in the same fire. It was a money fire. The most tragic type of fire. They
that
really
fire spreads quickly. A money fire.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they really, really need to make less flammable money. And it's so tragic that we haven't figured that out yet as a society. So we see this sitting room full of people. And I think we're going to start looking at Edward and Edwin sitting together in this room.
Terribly, terribly tragic. You hate to see people who are in their prime struck down so soon, so suddenly.
The entire family, though, that's almost unheard of nowadays.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It was terribly tragic, too. I believe as they were trying to run and escape the fire, many of them ran into knives on the way out. Grim business.
Knives. Why can't we go back to something more simpler, just tearing our food apart with our hands?
I tell you, one thing I like about you, Edward, is you've got that old-fashioned sensibility. On the hunt, I remember as a boy when you would leap off your horse and tear into the fox's neck with your own teeth alongside the dog's. It was just inspiring, really.
My father always told me, you know, we have to act like we belong, and that's kind of what I had in my mind. I'm not from around here, and acting like I was kind of part of the group, and I didn't know you had to use a gun to shoot a fox.
Believe me, my boy, believe me. While most gentlemen would have, of course, assumed that they were meant to fit in with the other humans, I admire the instinct that you had to fit in with the dogs themselves. Very noble.
My mother always called me a dog, but I'm sad that she wasn't here to see all these old friends and possibly new enemies around here.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, since we are in the room and we're at a funeral, I don't think it's appropriate to spend all of our time talking about the tawdry, grim affair of death. We must talk about happy things in life. Who in this room do you have your eye on, young Edward? You are approaching marriageable age, after all.
Oh, Edwin, the business is for me. You know that. I can't waste time getting married. It's too much work I have to do now.
Ah, yes, yes. I remember being a young man myself, so dedicated to the military. I had no time to think of women and marriage. I was thinking about men and boys. The true spice of life. But I must caution you, it will be expected. People will be sniffing around soon as though you're a fox of your own.
Well, hopefully this time I won't have to be ripped to shreds by some dog and I can run around and be happy as a fox.
Oh, to be young again, Edward, and not know women the way I do. move across the room. Who do we think is sitting with whom? Is there where do you feel your characters would be at this funeral?
I think I'm by the punch bowl.
I love it. I love it.
there's a punch bowl.
Yeah, there's definitely a punch bowl. And, you know, this is a classy affair. There is a big piece of ice shaped like a skull. It took someone all day to make it. So you're over by this punch bowl. Who do we think is going to be with Rex at this punch bowl?
Maybe some Nadine.
Ooh, Rex and Nadine over by the punch bowl. Please tell me, how does Rex look by this punch bowl? What does it feel like Rex is happening inside? And please tell me what they're wearing, because this is, after all, Regency romance, and the outfits are exquisite.
It is a sad affair. So he sort of toned it down. Usually he's wearing sequins and so this sort of stuff. And he is still wearing sequins, but they're black. So
classy.
Yes.
Yeah. Respectful.
Yes.
Elegant.
Yes. So you can only really tell it's sequins when he sort of catches the light and and he also has shoulder pads. and shiny red boots.
I love it. I love it. So we see this glum motherfucker wearing sequins and red boots, I guess, stirring around a punch bowl. And what of Nadine?
Nadine's wearing all red underneath and then a long overcoat of black. So it's like when you wear a lace something over something else. To show it through. You really want to show your bra, but you're like, I have to wear a shirt. Mm-hmm. And so she is wearing like a smock that goes down and it's velvet. It's meant to be touched. But the long overcoat is respectful for a funeral Fitzwilliam's.
Fitzwilliam funeral.
Fitzwilliam. Which, what a get to be invited.
What a get.
That's what I'm wearing.
So I imagine that this scene starts with Rex at the punch bowl, and I feel like Nadine might have been, you know, considering what her move was going to be for a while. Mm-hmm. Right before you walk over to do whatever you're about to do, where are you in the room? How are you looking at them? Like, what's going on?
I'm holding hands with Marion, sort of like what middle school girls do, but we're both like 30-year-old women or 20-something, whatever is not near death. And so we're...
Most women have died in money fires by the time they reach their 30s and this...
Yeah, we're holding... I'm trying to get a pep talk from Marion, but it's not working. So that's what I'm... Right before, I'm trying to get a pep talk from her, but it's not really happening. So I'm headed over... Very slowly, using my lady powers. I'm really trying to go from the groin in this conversation. It got really in with my words. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him. Is that the question? Like, what I'm going to ask him?
Well, I mean, you can just launch right into a dialogue when you want. I just wanted to check in with the character so we could see where they are emotionally before we leap into that.
That's sweet.
So I guess Nadine approaches Rex.
Marion, that's hilarious.
Ah, yes. Oh, but of course, Nadine.
Oh, but of course, were you expecting someone else?
I've learned to always expect you, Nadine.
Oh, well, I follow, you know, the person with the best smell.
Disturbing.
Oh, Rex, you don't you know that I have a nose like a fox and a heart like a pig. I love this party. It's everyone's having such a great... I know it's a funeral, but everyone...
We see a shot around the room. There are people just crying their eyes out in different corners, open wailing.
People are speaking their truth, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yes. If anybody knows a good party, it's I. And I'm happy to have broken out my best outfit for it. If you're going to be here, please make yourself useful, Nadine. I need someone to cover me as I spike the punch bowl.
Oh, Rex, you're so nasty. Rex, you are so nasty making little Nadine do bad things. Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, never mind.
That's why I brought the cape, so I can wing it like a bat. Hide my deep. Go.
All right. Two shots of gin and 4 shots of rum.
Ooh, a recipe.
the whole fifth of tequila, I think. Yes.
Were those all in those parachute pants?
They were. They have a separate compartment in the bustier.
You know, someday, Rex, I'd like you to show me all those hidden compartments.
Oh my goodness, Nadine!
Oh, stop trying to hide it. What fun we could have!
What do you think, Nadine? What do you think of us?
Oh, Rex, honestly, we both just want to be touched. And and life is so fleeting. And honestly, while I might not be moneyed at the time and I'm not wearing a belt full of cash, I do feel like I'm going to be on fire, but this time with love.
How about a shot?
So it sounds to me like we are making a move that was going to have a major influence on the plot, and that is the punch bowl is being spiked.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that actually has to come from Kennedy. Spend one of your influence tokens.
Hell yeah, let's go.
And I don't think this is really hampering anybody's agenda, so that is just now a true thing, and nobody had to approve that at all. Anybody who's drinking punch at this funeral is going to get drunk. If you could try spending an influence token to make Rex more receptive to your advances, or, you know, even say like, "Ooh, I think you're into this."
I still like the chase.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Can I?
That's great. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So we have set that up. I'm curious as to what Travis is up to right now. Where do we think Travis is?
Is Travis in the game?
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sorry. Alistair. Travis is in the game. He's time traveling.
I love this. Alistair is looking into a mirror in the corner of the room.
What does his outfit look like?
Oh, coattails,
mm-hmm.
buttons, almost an insane amount of buttons. Probably double the normal amount. 16 buttons,
mm-hmm.
32, mm-hmm. 64, however many is too much, because he can afford them.
Excellent. So you're admiring yourself in a mirror.
Hmm. But not just myself.
Oh.
I don't know if you wanted me to get going.
Yeah, please. Please.
Jesus.
Dive right in.
He's looking at himself in the mirror, but he's also rotating between glances at Nadine.
So, yeah, how subtle do you think you're being in this?
Oh, he thinks he's being super subtle.
I want to put this so close to the punch bowl. I feel like this mirror is just feet away. If you think you're being super subtle and are being obvious instead, are you contemplating approaching Nadine, or are you going to be talking out these feelings with someone else?
I think I'll be talking them out with Jasper.
Ah. Mm.
Nadine. Nadine! Nadine! Nadine!
Seth.
Oh, how beautiful she is across the room with her bat-winged cape and her red below.
Seth.
I think I see shades of it from this angle. Maybe if I cock my head to the side,
please.
What?
Sir, we're at a funeral.
Uh-oh.
It's a bit uncouth to be sprouting a vegetal seed in your undergarden.
The only thing sadder than not being able to take her right here, right now, is all of that money that was also lost in the fire.
Oh, don't I know it. Every time I think about money being burned, I feel a whimper in my chest. That also might be the diphtheria.
That's right. You have a long and storied past with fire death.
Oh.
Rest in peace to your family.
My whole family and all their... But thankfully, it wasn't a money fire. It was a boot fire.
That is thankful.
And all the money was fine.
But as I gaze between myself and Nadine in the distance, I wonder, riddle me this, riddle me that.
Okay.
How can I get me a piece of that?
Oh, sir.
Jasper, perhaps you should get us 2 glasses of punch.
But I'm not there. Okay, I see. All right, okay, here we go. Excuse me.
Oh, Jasper, is it?
Yes, so nice to see you again.
Hello, Sir Jasper?
Oh, I mean, I guess now it is, ever since my family died in that awful boot fire.
Congratulations.
Oh, tragic how many boots were lost.
And so much fine leather and grommets. But could I bother to get some punch?
Oh, it's no bother at all.
Oh, I'll just take these bat wings down.
Oh, wow, what a wing. You're a big, funny bat.
Come again?
People looking at you are looking and being like, oh, what a bat. I bet she sleeps upside down.
Thank you, my liege.
I wasn't the one who had that observation. It was someone over there.
Jasper, what are you doing?
I don't know. I was just saying that there are many people in the room that can see both of you and are looking at your faces and bods.
Well, they ought to be, really.
Well, thank you so much, Jasper. I... Maybe we'll be in a publication, don't you think, Rex? Wouldn't that be delightful?
Maybe someone would draw a daguerreotype of both of you here and maybe put it up in a window and as passers-by would, I don't know what. Could I have 2 glasses of punch?
Yes, of course, Jess.
Oh, Nadine, my hands don't work.
Your hands.
We get a close up of Jasper's hands. How do you arrange these hands?
Digits.
That Jasper's just holding them up to the sky and refusing to curl his fingers. Mm-hmm. My hands don't work. Could you carry the punch for me?
Yes, of course, Jasper. This one's happened to you know who, Stubadoo. Stubadoo had those splintered fingers that didn't quite work. Jasper, I'm so sorry that's happening to you.
I'm just having my punch and carrying it back over to Alistair. So if you would just help me carry, because my hands, the fingers, nary a curl.
Well, sure. Rex, will you be here when I return?
Oh, here, there, and everywhere.
I love poetry. Let's go.
So I guide Nadine over to Alistair. Oh, thank you so much. Look at that. My hands work. I'll take my punch. And then I walk and I'm hiding behind a curtain now.
I'm dramatically facing the mirror and I do a grandiose spin.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hello.
Hello, Alistair.
Isn't it crazy that headstones don't have any heads on them?
My, what a clever observation. I'd never heard that before. You know, I actually must be getting back to the punch bowl. Nice to meet with you. Goodbye.
Going so soon? Where to? Perhaps come and sit a while. We could talk about other stones and the things that aren't on them.
Oh, well, the funny thing that you said that... Did you see the Fitzwilliams, what they chose as their obelisks?
No, I did not.
It's true grown... It's 2 grown babies touching each other's hands into a heart. And then they have... And then they have... Their grandchildren chose a fire underneath the babies having hearts. They carved that out of stone. Can you imagine?
I could talk to you about fire and babies all day.
Well, good to talk with you, Alistair. I have to go. Oh, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. God, this is so bad.
Ooh, a secret?
Alistair, I think I'm in love.
Could you say that one more time, but slower?
Alistair, I think there is a man who has taken my heart in his gold goblet hands and his bejeweled eyes.
I would say that was probably faster than before, but more detailed. And maybe you should tell him how you feel.
Oh, Alistair, you are quite the therapist. I'm...
I love when you speak French.
Oh, you're right. I'm going to fly away. Thank you so much, Alistair. You're such a good friend. This is when she walks away back to find Rex. But she... Or Nadine goes to find Rex, but...
But Rex is gone.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah, yeah. She returns to that punch bowl. No one is around it.
And Alistair is stuck holding two cups of punch.
At this point, I walk over to Alistair.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And I grab one of the cups off his hand. Like, Alistair, you shouldn't be drinking two at once. You know. And I down mine in one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you smell that? It smells like poor. Did I step in some poor?
How dare you, sir, say that here at a funeral?
There's no better place to say it. Edward.
Alistair, I came here because you had two cups of punch. And I wanted one because you can't have two.
One wasn't meant for you. But you know what? Take this one, too. Drink all the damn punch you want.
I grab the cup and I down in one shot as well. I knew you couldn't handle punch. You can never handle punch. All that money of yours and never learned how to drink properly.
Yes. The only punch I'm interested in is punching you right in your nose. It's not a good time. Not only am I still so damn sad from all of this death, my heart has been taken from me. Spit on, smashed, put in the friend zone.
Didn't know you and the devil were together.
Well, well, well. Clever kitty cat. I'm sorry, I'm going through something very rough right now. I think maybe in this instance, we can put our differences aside so I can say, and maybe just ask tenderly, what does one do when they've lost that which they love?
You do whatever you can to get it back. Is whatever you're loving not loving you back, or do they not know that you love them at all?
Little of column A, little of column B.
Well, Alistair, I know love, and even though I hate you, I can only imagine what this love would do to your heart. So who is this person that you are after?
Oh, dare I say it? Nadine. Nadine.
On that, I think we're going to cut over to Rex. And Rex, you are where?
I've been trying to find a record player to play some music.
In 1812?
In 1812.
Uh-huh.
Okay, take a bet.
A record player is the name of a band back then.
A record player is the name of a string quartet that was hired to play this.
There's a record player.
You are approached by your friend Margaret. Pardon me, I don't mean to be so impertinent to talk about personal matters during a funeral of all times, but did I see you speaking to Nadine?
Yes, of course you did.
Well, tell me everything about it. You must.
Oh,
you
she's
absolutely must.
She's simply hungry for me, Margaret. Oh, I see it in her eyes. She is thirsty.
Well, then, what are you waiting for? Have you offered proposal? Shall you take a walk together at the next ball? Shall you dance?
I think we might, but I know the type of woman Nadine is. She's hungry for the chase. And I want to give it to her. Because, Margaret, you must understand a woman like that. If immediately she came up to me and said, you know, take me now, and I said yes, she would think me some scoundrel. Some unworthy man. So I play the part that she wants.
We can see Margaret's eyes are sparkling. She's dazzling in your brilliance right now. Oh, that's so romantic. The chase. I can see it now, but how could you ever get married? If she is wont to chase and you were to offer proposals, she would surely shrink away.
Yes. That is why she must propose to me.
But that's unheard of.
If anybody could get a woman to propose to a man, it is Rex Nevarez. Just you watch, Margaret.
Not only that, Rex, but her family would be dead set against it. You know I think the world of you, and I would do anything for you, but you don't have the greatest family reputation.
Oh, and whose fault is that? Everyone else's.
Of course, yes, it is your parents and your siblings and your cousins and the various scandals and drunken nude fountain singings.
No, Margaret. I mean, it is society's problem. What is a reputation but what others speak of us? And yes, sometimes I go streaking nude at night. But that is my business and what I do with my time. And if you have a problem with it, it is simply your problem.
I have not raised any issue. I will say, the Queen herself did denounce such behavior in a memo that went out to the whole kingdom.
Of course, but the Queen has a pole where the sun don't shine, if you know what I'm saying. She has a stick up her arse, is what I'm saying.
I'm afraid sometimes, Rex, that your words are too vulgar for even me, your dearest friend. But I do sympathize. If there's anything that I could do to make Nadine's parents less resistant to position her to do the unthinkable thing of proposing to a man herself, I would be happy to help you. You know, I do so love romance.
Oh, and I do think there's something you could do, Margaret. I do think that if you could convince Nadine's parents that I am different from the rest of my family, you know, that the scandal is not the way that I live, they might be more inclined to like me.
Of course. I will enlist myself in every ounce of my certitude to performing this task for you. I will see that you are wed happily and live peacefully.
Thank you, Margaret.
Margaret immediately scoots away, trying to make a beeline for the Rowley parents. And I think she runs directly into Edward.
I'm slightly tipsy at this point.
Yeah, I think everybody who has mentioned having a drink at this point is full on, like, feeling the effects of it, because that was a very strong, like, there might have been some poison in that. Oh, goodness, I'm so sorry.
What?
Huh? Oh, my.
I'm fine.
We see Edward Leopold, like, drunkenly trying to keep himself composed, but through a soft focus frame as Margaret lays eyes on him for the first time. I must apologize for being so impertinent as to ask for an introduction during a funeral, but I'm afraid we have not met.
I'm sorry for falling on you.
We can see him, like, fully leaning on her shoulder. I do not mind. It is an emotional time for everyone.
Yes, emotions are running high.
I'm sure everyone in this room has thoughts on their money and its own flammability.
Why can't we move to something more primitive, like stone money, like we used to have? That's how they did in the old days, stone money, not paper.
My, that's so old-fashioned.
Well, that's how I try to live my life, old-fashioned. Edward, by the way, I'm sorry.
Edward? Oh, my name is Margaret.
Margaret, that's a beautiful name.
Again, this is slurred into her ear as he leans fully on her shoulder. She blushes fully. Why, thank you. It's probably no mistake that we haven't encountered each other before. I am not used to running in such socially highfalutin circles. My family has only recently come into money. We've invented a material that is resistant to fire, and soon I hope it will be installed in every home and school in all of London and soon all of England. We call it Asbestos, after our last name.
Margaret Asbestos.
Yes.
Ah. Can't you use that asbestos on money and make that less flammable?
If only we could. It's just so slow to move people away from the kerosene-soaked paper bills that we use. The Queen does love them so.
Jonathan Kerosene. His family does control a lot of sway in money.
Yes, they've literally invented it. But... That's neither here nor there. I'm so honored to meet you. You are from which family?
She says, twirling her hair.
Oh, you might know one of my cousins, actually. Rex Narvarez, he's...
Narvarez, yes. I am familiar. You would be a Narvarez, then?
Leopold, actually. He's... ungratefully a cousin, but you can't choose your family.
Of course. Well, it was so nice meeting you. She, like, leans you up against a pole. I'm afraid I must go. I have been tasked with a favor of the utmost importance. See, someone with as gentle a disposition as you must understand. But... I do so hope that you will be attending the ball that is to happen later this month.
A ball, you say? Who's putting it on?
Why, it's the Moonves family.
the Moonves.
Yes. It shall be grand, a spectacular thing, and why, if a family shares the old-fashioned noble nature that you do, surely you'll be invited to attend.
I hope so, but I have to think about that after a little bit more punch, of course, but...
Well, do think on it very hard if you can.
Will you be there?
I can promise you that I will, and... I might be able to promise that I'll be waiting for someone in particular if I do.
Well, Margaret Asbestos, you be on your way and I will watch you as you go.
Oh my God.
All four of you.
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry. We'll be back with more Good Society next week. In the meantime, if you're looking for other great gaming shows, why not check out another show on the One Shot Network? You can also check out some of our shows over on our Twitch stream over at twitch.tv/oneshotrpg. If you follow our channel, you'll get a notification every time we go live. Coming up for you next week, we've got a new episode of A Woman with Hollow Eyes that should kick off Season 2. You'll be able to find that Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. And on Thursday, we'll have a new episode of Total Party Kill with JPC. They're going to be playing more Gloomhaven, and maybe they'll get the rules right this time. You'll only know if you tune in. Heroes, as always, we end One Shot with a call to action. And this week, I'd like to encourage folks to call and protest the declaration of a national emergency over the appropriation of funds for a border wall.
There is no emergency. There are people in this country asking for a wall because they are racist. The declaration of this emergency is a gross misuse of executive power. It's also tremendously fiscally irresponsible. And that takes a far backseat to the overt racism of this maneuver. We need people like you to speak out against it. Now, when I call my representatives, I use a site called 5calls.org. That's the number 5calls.org. There, you can find summaries for issues like this one, contact information for your representatives, and a script to read while you're on the phone to help you get your point across clearly. Calling takes just a few minutes, and it can make a huge difference on issues like this. As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter, at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One-Shot is a production of the One-Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.